welcome to the podcast. I appreciate you being here. We got an awesome guest today, Alex Cornwall. He's my broker. He is a leader in my life. He's one of the best that St. George and Utah has to offer. He's a real estate coach, and I think you guys are going to really like what he has to say.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on.
$100 afterwards.
$100. There we go.
Thanks.
That's what that shout out's worth, huh?
Maybe two. We'll see.
So I don't think people fully understand who you are, and they need to spend a lot of time to really understand the depth of your story and what you, the value you provide to people. Do you want to just kind of talk a little bit about kind of your story, getting into real estate, how you became a broker? I mean, I know we could talk for 24 hours about this, but kind of jump into to who's Alex Cornwall and how did you get into to real estate?
We are jumping right into it.
I'm right into it, man.
Okay. Well, I mean, we could spend a long time.
Yep.
Like I'm 40 years old and I feel like I've lived a full life.
Yeah.
Already. So
40.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Hey, 41 here in the next couple weeks.
Golly.
I know, right? No, real estate for me was, like everybody, I got into it when I was young, naive, didn't know much. School really wasn't my jam. And I got a job selling working with a realtor way back when, just right off, right when I started college and everything, part-time job.
Where'd you go to college?
Just here, just over at Dixie State University. It was Dixie State College back then.
Oh,
I am so old.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Come on. Two name changes. Three name changes. Golly.
Oh, yeah. Just changed again, huh?
Yeah. Utah Tech.
Utah Tech. Yeah. I actually kind of like that one.
I do.
But anyway.
Golly.
But yeah, I started working for a guy, a realtor, helping with his marketing. He had no idea about computers. I didn't either, to be honest with you. Talked my way into that job. And just helping him on the side. And he had a listing come across the table. It was like $1.5 million listing. And, you know, you do those double takes where look at that guy. Mm-hmm. I look at the commission. He was going to make like $60,000.
Yeah.
Look at that guy again. I was like, crap, dude. He can do this? Anybody can do this.
Yeah.
And got my license.
Cool.
3 weeks later, I was licensed.
Wow.
I was 22, 23. It was back in 2003.
So I was down here then.
Yep.
What brokers did you join?
When I started, I actually started with Coldwell Banker.
Gotcha.
So okay. Down there and or here in town. And I'll be honest with you, I hated real estate when I first got into it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I got taken advantage of. Cutthroat. You know, you do your first deal and you think you're getting mentored and all of a sudden you get your first check and you go, wait, what the hell, where did half my money go? And you realize that it went to a mentor that you didn't even know. So there was just a lot of that going on and I really did not enjoy it.
Yeah.
At the very first.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just a means to an end back then.
Hmm.
And I always thought like, I always was doing it for the wrong reasons, for the money. I was always just chasing that money, chasing that thing. And I did okay.
Yeah.
You know, started my own little brokerage back then, started investing in some real estate, you know, doing here and there. And then 2007 hit and crap hit the fan and lost everything.
Wow.
I was one of those statistics.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
let's back that up just a little bit. Let's talk about the mentors that you had going into it. So that guy that brought you in, that you helped with marketing, you saw the 1.5. Who was that guy? Do you have a relationship with him? Was he somebody that helped you in real estate?
Not really, I'll be honest with you. He was just a guy that I worked for.
Gotcha.
You know, and he was a great guy, don't get me wrong. He taught me a lot about real estate.
Yeah.
But it was one of those real moments where, man, if he can do it, anybody can do this kind of moment.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have those people where you just look at him, you're going, man, through him just showing up every day, being consistent, mm-hmm. he's able to land transactions and this money. Mm-hmm. I mean, he made $60,000.
Yeah.
You know what's really cool about that property, by the way?
Hmm.
It's 2 years after I got my license, I actually sold that property.
Oh, really?
That was my biggest transaction within like 2 years.
Oh, that's
sold
cool. That's really cool.
So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. That's funny that you say that, because when I was over at a builder in town, I was their online sales guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically the guy on the phones and the email setting appointments for the agents. And I just got my license. I was fired up. They offered me this job. I was like, okay, you know, I'll go do it. And it was the week of the Parade of Homes.
Yeah.
And the Parade of Homes came. And I watched those agents make about $100,000 that week selling homes. And I knew in that 1 week.
Yeah. Crazy.
And so, and I saw, I was like, I am sitting in this office, taking phone calls and replying to emails, setting appointments for these guys. And I'm going to, I won't make that for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that was my introduction into real estate. And I'm like, man, if these guys could do it, I could do it, yeah. You know? And it's the same exact same thing, you know? That was a eye-opening experience for sure. So keep going down kind of your story. So you got into real estate, you know, you started your own brokerage fairly young. How old were you?
Well, and after that little stint at that other brokerage that I started at, and getting taken advantage of just because the communication wasn't there. Hmm. And I kind of left there and some people there told me at that time, they're like, well, yeah, you can go leave. You're not going to make it in this business anyway. Hmm. I mean, that was the kind of mentorship I was getting there. I was like, okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I had a gentleman that I knew that had his broker's license that wasn't doing anything with it. So we got together, we started our own little company. Hmm. And luckily with the market taking off in 2004 or 5, started skyrocketing.
Yeah.
I did pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And it was fun. Like made a lot of money. I was always chasing the money though back then.
Yeah.
I was young, I was stupid, naive. And I'm old, stupid, and naive now. I mean, nothing's changed there. But back then, I was just always chasing it. Chase. And we did okay. 2007 hit, like I said. Mm-hmm. I did not build a sustainable business. Mm-hmm. I lost everything, man.
Everything. Really?
Cars, house.
Started fresh.
Yeah, but it took me 10 years to start fresh.
Golly. So kind of going out of the real estate realm into that period, because that's really interesting when people lose everything, how they build back better. Wow. I just used a horrible,
build back better.
Yeah. How did you make yourself great again? Let's talk about, let's add it all in there now.
I kind of want to talk about the build back better.
Okay. Let's build back better. So no, but really when people lose everything, how do they build themselves back? Right. What did you do? What did that really look like?
I mean, like I said, for me, it was a 10-year process of building myself back. Like, it took 10 years. But from 2007 to 2017, I was not who you see today. Hmm. I was very highly depressed, very highly anxiety, panic attacks, couldn't keep a job. I mean, you name it. Hmm. Through that time, I mean, if we want to go into it, we'll go into it. When I lost everything, I thought I lost half of my life. Hmm. Because I attached myself so much to the possessions that when everything was gone, I was gone. Hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
And because that's how I built it. It was do, so I can have everything I needed. Mm-hmm. And that would potentially help me become the person I needed to be. Mm. That's how I lived my life back then.
Gotcha.
Work, have, become. When in all reality, it's the other way around. Mm. I'll talk about that. So for me, it was from 2007, like I said, literally overnight, having to go live with my in-laws, having to go live with my parents, not holding down a job, moving left and right. I think we moved like 7 times in a 5-year period.
Sheesh.
Yeah, like we were always moving just because I couldn't hold a sustainable job because I wouldn't get out of bed for weeks on end. Mm. I just wouldn't. Like,
how humbling was that?
At that time?
Yeah. Was it embarrassing?
Very. I felt like a failure.
Did you ever feel like, where was your rock bottom point where you said, okay, no more, and started building back?
Yeah, that started in 2016.
Okay, so you had a good 8-9 years of being in this.
I was always trying to, I was always, what's the word I'm looking for? I was always blaming the other person. Mm. I was always blaming the situation. I was always blaming other people's choices. I was always listening to other people thinking they were going to tell me what to do. I wouldn't make a choice in my life. I wasn't mentally compatible. I wasn't there. Mm. Actually, in 2016, 17, I actually got diagnosed with PTSD.
Really?
Yeah. I was clinically diagnosed with PTSD from that traumatic, because it was so traumatic in my life, people think you have to get PTSD from like
war,
some war or something like that. Well, yeah. Mine, I was so fixated on building a life, and those possessions were meant so much to me that when I lost it all, I lost me back then. And so it's crazy to think about. Like when I actually reflect on it now, it's like, man, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Why did you do that to yourself for 10 years? You wasted your life.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of religion aspects of that as well, where, you know, when I knew I needed help, people would go, well, go pray more. Mm-hmm. Go talk to leadership there and stuff like that. And so I thought I made God mad too. Mm. So God wasn't on my side. People weren't on my side. I was all alone. That was my mentality back then.
Gotcha.
And to the point in 2016, I actually tried to commit suicide.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That was my turning point. That was my low point.
That was your rock bottom.
My rock bottom.
Wow.
Was I grabbed the gun, kissed my kids goodbye, and early morning, was gone. I was done.
Wow. That's wild.
Grateful I'm still here.
Yeah. Holy cow. So from that point on, who helped you change?
My son.
Your son.
Mm-hmm. So that time that I was telling you about in 2016, it was around April. It was pretty vivid still in my mind. Mm-hmm. It's something that I anchor to a lot. Like I said, I left that morning, kissed everybody goodbye, knowing that that was going to be my last time seeing them. I actually stopped by my parents' house too. This was early. It's like 6 a.m, 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. Driving out past, my parents live in over in Bloomington, driving out past into the desert. And for some reason, the phone rang, and it was my wife's phone, my previous wife. And I answered it for some reason. I don't know why, but I answered it. And it was actually my son, Tate. And he, one simple thing, he was 14. He was working on his baseball that time. He played baseball. He's like, Dad, when are you going to be home from work? I really want to learn how to pitch better. I get emotional every time I say this story, because that right there, I knew there was purpose in other people. Mm-hmm. I knew people had purpose in me, and I didn't have any purpose in myself then. I didn't know who I wanted to be, but they needed a dad. My son needed to go pitch that night, and he couldn't do it with anybody else but me.
So you turned around and drove home?
No, I sat there for a long time.
Yeah.
I sat there for a little while. I didn't go home until that afternoon, but I did pitch with him.
Wow.
I did play catch with him.
Wow.
So that was a turning point. That's when I knew I needed help. Mm-hmm. And that's when it started shifting for me. Mm-hmm. But it took 8 years.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, it really hits home, because I've got a son on the way. You know what I mean? My first son. You know, and I think about that moment a lot, the moment where I get to hold him for the first time, you know. And I don't know. I mean, life just takes more meaning when other people are involved, you know.
Well, and, you know, my motto in life nowadays, actually it's not nowadays, it's my motto in life is be purpose driven in all that you do. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're, like I make this joke, I don't care if you're sitting on the pot taking a dump. Have purpose in it. You know, don't just sit there with your phone and, like, I know it's a stupid joke, but yeah. Be purpose driven in everything you do in life.
Yeah.
Because through purpose, there's meaning. And sometimes you don't know what your own purpose is, but people have purpose in you. They have a desire and something that they need from you, and you may not know it.
Right.
But be there for them.
Right.
And my son needed me.
So is this what's kind of gotten you into the coaching route, is taking more of a personal approach with people? What got you into kind of the coaching side of real estate?
You know, that's actually a really, really great question. You know, from 2016 to today, there was a lot of events. I think everybody goes through crossroads in their life. I call them crossroads.
Totally.
2016 was a crossroad. 2017 was another crossroad for me when I ended up getting a divorce from my previous wife. it needed to happen mm-hmm. for me to grow mm-hmm. and for her as well. Still somebody that I cherish every single day. She's the mother of my children. But it's something that needed to happen. And since then, I started finding passion in helping other people because I started sharing my story. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know how many people can relate to you unless you start sharing your story. Mm-hmm. Period. And for me, I started opening up. I started opening up about my depression. I started opening up about anxiety, how I would get an anxiety attack. And instead of having the anxiety and panic attack at home, I would literally get in my car so my family would not see it and drive around the corner and be in my car having a panic attack. And then go home and just put on this face that I'm okay. People can relate to that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I started talking about that, you know, getting addicted to Xanax. Mm-hmm. Still to this day, I do not remember when my daughter was born. Mm. She's 14 now. I see pictures of me holding her in the hospital. I don't remember it because I was so doped up on Xanax.
Yeah. Crazy.
People don't know that.
It's funny that you say that. Not funny. It's crazy that you say that because when I met you back in 2018, I believe, 2019, mm-hmm. you were a completely different person.
I was getting out of it.
Completely different.
I wasn't there.
No, I mean, that's what's wild to me is that I have never known that person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I only know the person I know today. And it was a guy that I met in 2019.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's pretty wild. But I think it's so important that you do share your story because there are people that struggle with that stuff. Because for example, today is would be my older sister's birthday. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, she committed suicide, right? And she dealt with all those problems, drugs, alcohol, you know, really struggled in life and it really beat her down for several years before she took her life.
Yeah.
You know, and it's people that can relate to people like that that can make a change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You realize that's what coaching is.
Yeah.
I'm not a therapist.
Right.
I don't practice or want to be a therapist.
Yeah.
But people, through sharing your story, it relates to all aspects of life. I mean, through this transition from 2016 to when you met me in 2019, that's actually really interesting what happened and transpired over those few short years. I mean, you really think about it, 2016 was not that long ago.
Right.
And even 2019.
Right.
I mean, when you met me too, I was still going through my shit.
Yeah.
I was still having a hard time.
Sure.
You know, back then, right after the divorce, I again was a turning point in my life. I was low. I mean, that was another low point when you feel like such a failure.
Right.
I failed my kids. I had four kids. You know, I still have mm-hmm. four kids, but you get what I'm saying. I felt like I failed them.
Yeah.
I felt like I failed my family. I'm the only one at that time that had gotten a divorce in my family. And it was just like, dude, you're failing in every aspect of life. Mm. Get your shit together. That's right. What I kept on telling myself. And I ended up getting out of real estate. For a while.
What'd you do?
Sold boats.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I sold boats and Can-Ams and stuff like that from 2017, middle of 2017 to 2018.
Yeah.
About a year, you know, I was on the water, got a passion for boating, mm-hmm. you know? But it was because of a really good friend. Again, he didn't know it at the time. He offered me a job. He said, "Hey, come on over and let me help you." He didn't know that he was a lifesaver for me. Mm-hmm. Again, he gave me purpose. In something that I needed in my life at that time. I needed to know that I could show up still every single day. I needed to know that I could go make, although it was little money at that time, I could still make some money. I'm still worth value, mm-hmm. you know, and I needed it.
People lose that.
They do.
You know, if you're not performing at your peak, I think people a lot of the times feel that their value is diminishing mm-hmm. because of the amount of money that they make.
Yeah.
I see that a lot. I see too. A lot of people that really truly feel like if they're not making 150, 200, 300, or if they've made 250 and now they're making 100, they feel like their value has dropped as a person.
Yeah.
And it's and I just don't believe that's the case. Well, but it's hard to see that sometimes.
I mean, look at, and this is what I was doing, 95% of the people out there in this world, I would say even more, they trade time for money.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize that time does not equate to money, it's actually the value you, and the impact you make. The more impact you make, the more income you'll create.
Yeah.
And you create income. You attract it by the amount of impact you make. That's where creation, everything. I don't care if you sell real estate. I don't care if you're selling ice to an Eskimo.
Yeah.
If you create value for that person,
right,
and you don't look at that person as a transaction, but you actually look at them as a genuine relationship, you will create value.
Right.
And even back in 2017-18, when I was still, that was me, I became really selfish. I needed to figure myself out, and I needed to figure out who Alex was. So I became selfish. Was I the most productive? No. Did I explore life? Yeah. But I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to figure out who I was.
Yeah.
And there was another couple crossroads that happened throughout that period that defined me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful that they did.
Mm-hmm.
My son's involved again. Mm-hmm. He is my hero. But through some transitions, I was able to, I had an opportunity, I guess I should say, to become a broker. See, I got my broker's license on a whim back in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with a development company up north. So like I said, we moved around a lot.
Right.
I got a job up in Bountiful, Utah. I think it was 2012, 13. I don't. It's all a blur.
Sure.
On that part of my life, it literally is a blur, man. But we lived up there, got my broker's license up there, and they asked me, they're like, you want to get it? We'll pay for it. I was like, sure.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had no desire to be in management. I had no desire to be a broker.
Yeah.
I looked at other brokers at that time going, man, your life sucks. I would not want to do what you do. Look where I'm at today.
Yeah.
I don't consider myself a broker. I only can get to that. But yeah, in 2019, I had an opportunity to become the broker with a new startup here in town, a startup company. And we started that. There's three agents. Me.
Was that Gold?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's three agents.
Yeah.
And great opportunity at first. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this. I'm going to run with it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
I didn't know. So I was like, okay. Started having fun, started talking to people, started recruiting people with the help of the owners. Like, we had a great bond at the very first, and we started growing that place. And collectively, we added 40 agents in a year to this little brokerage.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And
that's when I met you.
Yeah.
Which I've really, truly, just really quick, that stood out to me because of the idea that we were selling, right? We were selling virtual home and, virtual reality goggles and in real estate. And I remember coming to the brokerage, I had this idea, because before we were just going to the builders, right?
Yeah.
And just say, hey, you can show all your new builds with, this headset or whatever. But I came to a brokerage, I came to you, and the only other experience really I had with brokers were, they're a little older, you know? should have retired 10 years ago, but they're still doing it because they love it type thing.
Yeah.
You were very open-minded about the idea when most people couldn't see the vision of it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. That was my first impression of you, is, wow, this guy can think out of the box. And you guys had this whole plan, and we could go and set it up at the brokerage and do all these things. And it was really kind of cool. That was my first Alex Cornwall experience, was open-minded. And
why didn't you join then? I'm just joking. I mean, come on.
That's a good point. Maybe it was just recruiting. You're like, we're open. Yeah, just come join.
Well, and I appreciate that. And yeah. I was having fun.
Yeah.
I started finding passion.
Yeah.
That passion of truly helping people. I loved bringing agents in, because one thing I know about this business, doing it for as long as I have, I know the inner workings of the business.
Right.
I know how to go get a client.
Right.
I know how to go sell real estate.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't apply it when I was going through my shit.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I don't know it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I started teaching other people. I was like, well, I'm not going to go do it because I'm too effed up in the head. Because at that time I still was.
Right.
I'll just go teach other people.
Yeah.
And I found passion in it though. I was like, you know what? I can do this. But the thing is, Dylan, is I was still, I'm just going to do this really hard. I'm going to get all I need to have, and I'm going to become the person I needed to be. Mm-hmm. I was still living in that mentality of do, have. That will help me become.
Yeah.
And I was never becoming because I was always still relapsing.
Right.
I would always relapse. I mean, even at Realty One Group, when I was there, you know, as the broker, although great positive mindset and everything like that, I was still having depression. I was still getting anxiety attacks.
Mm-hmm.
I was still relying on other vices, alcohol and that kind of stuff to overcome that kind of stuff. And I was like, I need to do something different. And one thing I love about that is, a lot of times when you need to do something different, the universe will actually make that happen for you. Mm-hmm. I truly believe energy is powerful.
Yeah.
And there is power in energy. And when you put that something out to the universe, you will get it back tenfold if you truly have intent behind that.
Yeah.
And in March of, so we went that stint in March of 2020, the ownership ended up parting ways with me. Mm. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, we were building something great.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're going to let me go right now?
Another crossroad. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I wasn't making much money. I was, and a lot of them letting me go was on me too, because I was butting heads mm-hmm. because I wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make more money. I wanted, because that's what I strove. Like, I strived. I just needed to provide and that. And I was chasing the money.
Yeah.
And I wasn't making it. So, of course, I'm a stubborn guy. I butt heads.
Yeah.
And so it was, at first it wasn't mutual, but afterwards it was. you know what I'm saying?
No, totally.
But they let me go. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, shit, here I go again.
Yeah.
Another failure.
Mm-hmm.
And another defining moment. Another crossroads. It's like, what do I do?
Yeah. Now, at this point, you didn't go back to 2012 you.
No.
Obviously a crossroad and you're trying to figure yourself. What's interesting again is at this point you're what? How old?
38.
You're 38 years old. I love that you said this a little bit earlier. I want to touch back on it. Is you said I was trying to figure out who I was, and to be able to say that at 36, 38, I think people feel like they need to have it figured out by then.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't. Mm-hmm. You need to be figuring yourself out all the time.
Yeah.
Right? At 20, you're a different person at 20 than you are at 25. 25 to 30, 30 to 40, right? Like, if you're not changing, if you're not trying to figure out who you are, well, you're not really growing.
If you believe that there's an ultimate destination for you, you're going to be very disappointed.
Hmm. It's about the process.
It's about the process.
That's what you've always taught. It's always about the process.
It's about the process. There is no perfection in this world. There's no destination. Mm. It's not about the destination. It's about who you need to become. It's about who you are. And it took me a long time to figure that out.
Mm.
And I was 38.
Yeah.
I mean, did I have four wonderful kids at that time? Absolutely. Was I going through the motions of life up to that point? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was struggling through those motions, but I never trusted that process because I always was always looking for the process in other people. I wasn't willing to go out and actually do it.
Mm.
I wasn't willing to go accept it.
That's big.
So for me, once I knew something needed to change, and you're absolutely right. I'm so grateful that I did not resort back to that 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
Alex. Because I could have.
Right.
When I got let go then, I mean, Dylan, you got to just paint the picture. March of 2020, I was $60,000 in debt. Living with my girlfriend at the time, who is now my beautiful wife. She was supporting me. I wasn't making any money. I didn't see my kids that much because child support was on the back burners for me because I wasn't making any money. I had nothing. I was 38 years old and I had a truck that I could barely pay for that I would have to ask my parents for gas every once in a while because I was too afraid to ask my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Kind of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I was nobody. In March of 2020, they let me go. That's where I was in my life.
Hmm.
And I was like, shit's got to change.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember calling Keisha at the time, my beautiful wife, and I was like, babe, they let me go. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, I love you. You know, this is what I heard. She always tells it differently because you always hear stuff different when it comes from your significant other. You know what I'm saying? But for me, it was like a get your shit together. Don't do real estate anymore. Go find a job.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. She was more eloquent and all that. Like, love you. We could do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I was like, oh, crap. Here we go again. What am I going to do in my life? I can go back and sell boats, I guess, or do this. I was just flood of just like, what should I do? What should I do?
Yeah.
You know, I was working on a couple of real estate transactions at that time. And I was like, okay, I could go do these, but I wasn't 100% committed. I had a plan B always in the back of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I always had a plan B. Well, there's this. Well, there's that. Well, there's this. I never fully committed. Mm. And I remember getting a call from a really good friend of mine at that time. Well, he still is a really good friend. And he's like, dude, Alex, you don't understand it right now, but you just got the best promotion of your life. Mm-hmm. I remember those exact words he told me. Then he's like, you don't understand it. Best promotion.
Hmm. What a perspective.
Yeah.
And totally different perspective.
I was like, what the hell are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
This isn't a, I'm like screwed. He's like, you don't understand it.
Yeah.
But now it's time for me to help you.
Hmm.
Let me help you.
Yeah.
And he was so, he's such a genuine guy that I believed him. I felt his intention. I felt, and that's one thing I love about my wife is she saw value in me. I mean, we started dating into the end of 2017, and when I was the low of my low,
mm-hmm.
my current wife now, and like I am, just like you said, I'm not the same person. And I asked her, like, what did you see in me?
Right.
And she's like, I don't know. I mean, you're rough around the edges, but inside you got a good heart. Like, she saw something in me. She saw value in me. I think that's what makes a good leader, is you see value in other people.
Yeah.
That they don't see in themselves.
Hmm.
That's a good leader.
That is a good leader.
And for me, that's how I've always tried to lead, by the examples I've been given. So Luther at that time, he was that for me. He was like, he's so intentional to wanting to help me. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I always take the easy route. Yeah. I always, in the crossroads, I always been doing this, but these past few years, I've taken the harder route and look where I'm at today.
Hmm.
So I was like, you know what? Screw it.
It's interesting that he said that was the best promotion of your life and you just didn't know it yet. Now, had someone brought you, his name is Luther,
mm-hmm.
had Luther been there with you and said that same thing to you in 2007, maybe things change, right? It's, you never know exactly where someone's at, but someone like you, you've said a lot of things to me and to other people that one thing can change the direction. For example, one thing that you told me was when I was looking for a broker to choose, you told me that we sell real estate, but that's not what we do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, okay, this is a brokerage. That is what we do. And no, it's not what we do. It's how we make money, but it's not what we do. And that to me was like, oh, that opened up my mindset. Okay, well, maybe this brokerage is a little bit different.
So what do we do?
We don't sell real. Well, we sell real estate. Well, it's more about the people, right? Yeah. It's more about the relationship. It's more about what you're building and who you're becoming, right? And that's all you preach when I was looking at different brokerages, and you told me it's about who we become,
mm-hmm.
not about what we sell.
Yeah,
the sales are great, and the money's great, but it's who we become, you know. And to me, that someone like Luther that would say something as, I know you look, it looks like you just lost everything, but this is a whole new purpose. This is the greatest promotion of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. And I think it goes to show, you know, people that you spend your time with, right? Who you're surrounding yourself with, and perspective, right? Yeah. A whole nother perspective, right? And a positive outlook, gratitude. Like, there's so many things that could play into that.
But being open to that perspective.
Sure.
So that's another thing too, is like, there were people in 2007, just to hit on that a little bit,
mm-hmm.
that did give me that perspective. Hey, you just got to double down. You got to do this. We got to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so effed up in the brain.
You're right.
Because I was going about it the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
that I did not accept their perspective.
Mm.
I didn't accept it.
Sure.
I was like, no, I did it this way. I need to do it this way. I was so like, no, there's only one way. There's no other perspective. This is how it has to be.
Yeah.
So when Luther came to me, and that's, again, I'm very grateful that I started working on myself. I mean, my journey started literally at 2016, 17, 18, 19, you know, from there and up. My perspective did shift. But the difference is like, I remember at that time after talking to Luther, I remember getting out my journal and writing down like three things. I think I wrote down a few things, but three things that really stuck out. And the first thing I wrote down was just F it. Like, seriously, I literally wrote that down on the top of my page in bold letters, F it. Hmm. Meaning F trying to fix everything and fix yourself, number one. Hmm. F what other people think. Be you. Be genuine. F it. Hmm. Just F it.
Love it.
I know.
Simple. Pure.
I was. I was like, I'm so sick and tired of relying on other people. F everybody. Hmm. Don't ever rely on a paycheck from anybody ever again. F it. Hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Second thing I wrote down is stop chasing money. I've been chasing money my whole life. I've never had it. Stop chasing it and start just relying on. That's when I started realizing the process. Mm-hmm. Start working the process.
Yeah.
Stop chasing money. The third thing I wrote down is stop chasing life. The grass isn't greener. The grass is green where you cultivate. The grass is green where you plant. The grass is green right where you're standing today. Yeah. Meaning, remember what you're grateful for. See, in the past, like, that's one thing that I actually implemented in 2019 is every morning I would wake up and I would just write down what I was grateful for. That's what helped me the most through my anxiety and my depression is I would wake up with intent every single morning, with purpose. I would wake up immediately. Alex, you're alive one more day. You just woke up to a beautiful woman who loves you for who you are, and you're able to hop into a hot shower.
The little things. Yeah.
And I'd write that down every single day. Gratitudes, gratitudes, gratitudes. And I remember sitting there and I just wrote down what I was great. I had nothing, 60,000 in debt, like nothing. And I wrote down my gratitudes. Hmm. Just, Alex, you're freaking alive. You're sitting in a truck. You drove your ass to work.
Yeah.
You had a hot breakfast and a hot coffee this morning. Be grateful.
Yeah.
And for me, that so many people ask, like you've asked, like what changed? That's the biggest and most powerful thing that's changed my life.
Gratitude.
Gratitude.
Hmm.
But not just gratitude, applying and practicing the law of gratitude. Hmm. It's a law. Most people, they're taught, be grateful. But practicing and just being are two totally different things. Mm-hmm. One's a verb, one's not. Mm-hmm. You got to practice the law of gratitude. You got to recognize it. You've got to express your gratitude to other people. Mm-hmm. That is practicing the law of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And that's what changed. And so I doubled down. I use that word a lot now. And I said, you know what? Screw it. I got rid of all my plan Bs. I went 100%. I needed to prove to myself that I could do this business. So in March of 2020, I actually went to another friend of mine. And I borrowed $6,000. I didn't tell my wife at the time. I didn't. I was like, I can't do this. But I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. I needed some money. I needed money quick. The previous company, they didn't really help uphold their end of the contract with mm-hmm. me. So I didn't get paid out anything, severance package or anything. I was like, I got to make shit happen. I was not going to rely on other people anymore.
Yeah,
I was going to rely on myself, my efforts. So this goes into coaching. I knew in real estate what separated the winners from the average to from the losers was coaching. Hmm. You look at any top producer out there in this business.
Yeah.
What's one thing they have on their side?
A coach.
A coach.
For sure.
Look at any top professional.
Athlete.
What is one? Frick, Tiger Woods has six coaches.
Yeah.
He has an upswing coach, a downswing coach. He has a mindset coach. He has a coach.
Yeah.
In every aspect of his life. But we're too stupid and naive to actually hire one. So the number one thing I changed, I hired a coach. That next day, I took $3,000 out of that, and I hired me a coach.
Wow.
I paid him 3 months up front. It was $1,000 a month. Hmm. I paid him three. I was like, if I can't do this in 3 months, I don't deserve to be in the business. Hmm. That's what I told myself.
Betting on yourself.
Betting on myself. Hmm. Literally betting on myself because I borrowed $6,000.
Yeah.
You know? And I went to work. Me and Luther, we started our own brokerage because I started getting phone calls. I didn't know what I didn't know, Dylan. And the day after, when word got out in the real estate community, I got let go. I started getting phone calls from other brokerages. Hmm. Hey, we want you to come work with us. Hey, we want this. Hey, we'll give you a sign-on bonus.
Yeah.
Like, I literally got offered sign-on bonuses and stuff. The hardest thing to do is to say no to, here's $10,000-$15,000, right? Yeah. Up front, right. Just to sign on with us.
Right.
That was really hard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I knew I needed to prove to myself that I could do it.
What a temptation, though, and recognizing that, because you chased money forever.
Yeah.
And now here's money. Come chase it.
And I didn't.
And that was the first time you put your foot down and said no more.
Yeah. Hmm. I would have taken it in a heartbeat.
Hmm.
In a heartbeat. Like 8 months prior.
Yeah.
I would have. But because of that decision I made in that car, I was like, you know what? I'm not doing it. So for me, I went all in. And then COVID hit.
Gotta love that.
And I was like, oh, shit. But I didn't let it bother me.
Yeah.
Because one thing I wrote down on my journal, be grateful for what you have, and you have an opportunity.
Hmm.
Be grateful for that opportunity and be grateful for you.
Hmm.
And I just went to work. And that year, 2020, people asked me, that was my defining moment. That was my life-changing moment. We ended up closing 28 transactions that year, made $180,000.
Hmm.
Literally changed my life.
It's awesome.
Literally changed my life. And it's only gone up since then. And then I still had brokerages gave me a call. And the reason why I did take on the position I am today, being your broker, as you can tell, I'm not your typical broker.
Right.
But I pride myself on that because I don't want to be that old guy that you sit down with, like you just mentioned. Because
they're great. They're great. Nothing wrong with them.
They all have that persona of, oh, you're old. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
I am a young broker.
Mm-hmm.
I pride myself on that. Do I know everything? No. That's why I don't consider myself a managing broker. I consider myself a coach and a mentor.
Mm.
You know, I found passion in coaching through this whole thing, just sharing my story, sharing my journey. And now I have the financial backing behind it too, just to show that you can make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
I have doubled my income since 2020 every year.
It's awesome.
And I look at that and what we've been able to accomplish, and it's through proximity.
Mm.
Like you were just mentioning before, who you surround yourself with. And that's why I align myself with Century 21 and the leadership that we have today, because I respect George Morris, the owner of the company, John Syatt, Rob Oakey, all those guys. That the leadership that we have has helped mold me even more into the person I want to become. Mm. I want to emulate them. I mean, those guys started a real estate company in 2009 when the market was the worst that's ever been in the history of the world other than the Depression.
Yeah.
And they built it to the number one organization, sales organization within Century 21. I mean, come on. Wouldn't you want to align yourself with someone like that?
Yeah.
But the one thing that I've always told myself, never get comfortable. I don't rely on that job.
Hmm.
I don't need the salary. Like I told myself, I will never rely on somebody else to pay me what they think I'm worth.
Right.
I will pay myself that, and I will go to work for that. So I don't need that. I do it because I have passion of helping the Dillons, the Dakotas, the people truly succeed.
Yeah.
That's what coaching is for me. Coaching changed my life in real estate and personal.
Hmm.
Changed my life.
It's crazy. What a story.
That's my story, man. You know, you asked.
Yeah, I did. No, it really is amazing, you know, where you were, where I met you at, and where you're at today, you know, completely different person. Better. Yeah, and again, it's a process.
It is.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you're 20 years old, you're 40 years old, you're 60 years old, it's a process. Mm-hmm. And every bit of life, every different stage of life is different.
Yep.
You know, and continue on your process, trusting your process.
Have purpose behind that process.
And have purpose.
Have purpose. Be purpose driven in that process.
Yeah.
And it will take you to heights you couldn't even, even 3 years ago, I wouldn't even have imagined where my life is today.
Hmm.
But now I'm really excited for next year and the year after that, because I know it. I truly know it's just going to get better because I'm becoming more every single day.
Well, I'm grateful for your decision back in 2016, 2017 to stay. You know, that's I'm glad you're here, and you made a big impact in my life, and excited to be part of what you're doing.
Thanks, brother.
So thanks for coming on, man.
Anytime.
Appreciate it.